Good morning. Hot dog. Here we go. I knew he'd get somebody. It is so good that I get to see you today. I'm glad that you are here. We have been in the book of Jonah. Good news. We're moving to chapter 2 today. And after this, we're gonna hit the pedal and we're gonna move a little more quickly than we have been moving. But there was so much there in chapter 1 that we need to understand and need to know that will set us up for the rest of the book. If you remember, chapter 1 tells us that God calls Jonah. He is a prophet, and he calls him to Nineveh. And Nineveh is the place that Jonah wants to go the least of all in his life. He wants nothing to do with the Ninevites. They are Assyrians. They are people who are very harsh. They are known for their terrible tactics when it comes to war. They are known for being haters of Israel, and Israel hates them, and they've been paying tribute, and they just want nothing to do with one another. At least Israel wants nothing to do with Assyria. And so God tells Jonah, he says, hey, I need you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah gets up, and he goes the other way. And he runs from God, and the scripture says that he left the presence of the Lord. That phrase comes up over and over again in chapter 1. I hope you've noticed that, in that when we leave the presence of the Lord, there are consequences to our relationship with him, and there are consequences to how we live and the things that happen to us. And so Jonah leaves, and he gets on a boat, and he starts heading away from God. He's going west when God told him to go east. And so he's going. He gets down in the belly of the boat, and he starts taking a nap. And at that time, God hurls, it says, he threw a mighty storm, a great storm on the sea. And these guys who have lived their life on water know what it's like to have hardships when it comes to rowing, and hardships when it comes to sailing. They are in panic mode. They know that this storm has divine origins. This is no regular storm that they come up with during a course of a journey. And so they begin pleading for their God or their gods. And there's no answer. There's no good reason for this. And so somebody says, hey, where's that dude we picked up? And so they go down in the boat, they find him sleeping, and they wake him up, and they say, the least you can do is pray, buddy. And Jonah stays silent. And so they decide, we're going to cast lots. We're going to figure out whose fault this is, what we need to do, whose God do we need to appease to get out of this. And they cast lots. And the lots fall on Jonah. And Jonah finally opens his mouth. He should have been telling these people about God, but instead he's running. He finally opens his mouth and he says, I'm a Hebrew. My God is Yahweh. He made the heavens and the earth. The best thing you could do is throw me overboard. And they say, that's a bad idea. And so they go and they get the oars of the boat and they start rowing as hard and as fast as they can. And they realize we are going nowhere fast. And they decide to take Jonah up on his offer. And at the end of our time last week, we saw that the men picked him up, threw him into the water. The storm ceases when that happens. And the men on the boat recognize that Jonah's God is the one true God. They begin to sacrifice to him. They begin to make oaths to him. And sadly, the guy who could have told them about this God, who is the one of the maker of the heavens and the earth and everything within it, they have to go through this storm to see this. So Jonah hits the water. The seas cease to rage. And it ends, chapter 1 ends, with God appointed a great fish, and it swallowed Jonah. So that's where we are today. Here's Jonah in the belly of a fish. Now, I'm not going to get into debate. Is it a whale? Is it a fish? It doesn't matter. We could talk about that for a long time, and in the end, it doesn't matter. God appointed something in the water that was written down as a fish to swallow Jonah. It could have been a minnow if God wanted it to be. You know what I'm saying? So that's where we are. And in that belly of that fish, Jonah's going to hit rock bottom. And he's going to begin to pray. He's going to begin to reflect on his situation. And he's going to begin to recognize the grace that he needs. And to be honest with you, I think there are probably some people here who are in the same situation as Jonah. You have been running from God. And God has brought you here today to hear how to get back to him. Let me read Jonah chapter. I'll review the verse 17 of chapter 1 and we'll read through chapter 2. It's only 10 verses and it's his prayer. He says this. He says, "Now the Lord had appointed a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish." And this is what he prayed. "I called to the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. I cried out for help in the belly of Sheol. You heard my voice." You ever wonder if God hears you when you pray? Jonah's saying, yeah, he does. "You threw me into the depths, into the heart of the seas, and the current overcame me. All your breakers and your billows swept over me. But I said, I have been banished from your sight. Yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. The waters engulfed me up to the neck. The watery depths overcame me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. I sank to the foundations of the mountains. The earth with its prison bars closed behind me forever. But you raised my life from the pit, Lord my God. As my life was fading away, I remembered Yahweh. My prayer came to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forsake faithful love. But as for me, I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will fulfill what I have vowed. Salvation is from the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah out onto dry land." You've seen Jonah, and he has been doing with, I suspect, if you've not done in your life, maybe some of you are doing now, and unfortunately some of us will do in the future, running from God and running from his grace. Jonah has left the presence of the Lord. Jonah has left the protection of the Lord. Jonah says, "I refuse to obey you. I refuse to do what you want me to do. I'm getting away from you as fast as I can." And so he runs and he runs, and now he finds himself in the sea. And surely death is going to overtake him. Surely he will die now. He talks about how things are not good for him. He's up to his neck in water. He has seaweed all around him. Things are not going good. And he thinks he's going to die. He says, "But God was not your plan." And God appoints a great fish to swallow Jonah. God appoints fishes sometimes in our life. God appoints things for us to get back on track. God appoints points of grace for us to put us back on the right track of where we should be, walking with Him and back in His presence. This term appoints is going to come back again and again in chapter 4. And so God has appointed this fish, and God uses these appointments to teach something to Jonah that he already knows. He just has to reaffirm it. These are difficult events in his life. He knows who God is. He knows what God can do. And he has to get flat on his back in the belly of a fish for him to recognize that, yes, God is sovereign, God is Lord, and God will correct me. And God has commanded me to do something, and I've run from him. You ever been where Jonah is? You ever been flat on your back somewhere, looking up to God, saying, I know, I've been taught all this stuff. I've been told all this stuff from the time I was a young child. I've learned about who you are. I recognize your hand, but I ran anyway. I didn't want to do what you called me to do. I didn't want to obey when you called me to obey. I just didn't want to do it. You find yourself flat on your back, nowhere to go. And these hard events of life are actually acts of grace that God gives us to set us back on the right track. Now, I'm not foolish enough for you to think that getting swallowed by a fish is an act of grace. I'm not foolish enough for you to think that if you get in an accident or you go bankrupt or you lose a job or something crazy you think of as an act of grace. Things that are acts of grace usually don't come to us and understand them as acts of grace until much later in life when we're looking back on them. And God says, well, I was correcting your path. I was using the hardships of life. I was using these terrible things that come up in your life to get you on the right path. And this fish is an act of grace. In reality, the fish saves Jonah's life, at least temporarily. Because I've never been in the belly of a fish, but I'm pretty sure it's not a place for you to set up shop. It's not a place for you to put pictures on the wall. It's not home. And Jonah knows that I'm a dead man unless there's another miracle waiting to happen. Jonah knows salvation is only temporary here unless God provides another way out. And you know what? God sometimes, he uses radical things. He uses radical treatment to bring about a remedy. How many of you were in the depths of despair? You're in the depths of a hardship. A relationship is broken down and you seek God. Your financial status is in turmoil and you seek God. You're going to lose a job and you seek God. And you earnestly seek after God. And God can use these hardships in life to bring you to Him. I'm not saying God causes these things. I'm not saying God says, I'm going to hurt them so they get right. But God in His almighty power has the ability to use these radical things to bring about remedy in our life. Jonah's movement throughout chapter 1 has been a downward slope. You read it, the word down comes up over and over again. Jonah goes down to Joppa. Jonah goes down into the boat. And now he is down into the sea. That's what happens when you leave God's presence. You go down, down, down. It's never a good place to go. It's never a good thing to run from God's presence. You never go up when you leave God's presence. You always go down. And this repetition of going down to Joppa, going down into the boat, going down into the sea, illustrates this for us. Many Christians experience this just as well. you run from God and you go down. You say, I'm just going to try this out for a little while, and you go down. Well, I'm going to make compromises in my relationship, and I'm going to go down. I'm going to make compromises in the friends that I hold close to me, and you go down. I'm going to make compromises in the way I do my business, and you go down. And eventually, you find yourself up to your neck, seaweed wrapped around, crying out to God. It's a good thing to cry out to God, but why wait till you get to that point? Why wait till you in the total depths of despair to call out to God? Why don't you make that up an everyday practice of your life, calling out to God, praying with God, having communion with God? Jesus is closer than you ever need him to be. He's closer than you think he can be. Just cry out. Cry out to Jesus. I read this quote this week, and it's one of those you write down because it's really good. It said, you never realize that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. You never realize Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. We go through life and we try to put things in our baskets. We try to fill things up. And it's only when those baskets get empty and we realize Jesus is all I've got. He's all I have. And you recognize he's the only thing you ever needed. And Jonah quickly comes to this conclusion that God is the only thing he has now. And God is the only thing he ever needed. So he prays. He prays from the depths of that sea. He prays from the depths of the fish. And he prays a prayer from the bottom of his despair. And it's a prayer, and it's a call, and it's a cry out for grace. Saying, God, I know what I've done. God, I recognize my sin. And God, I need you. There's three aspects of this prayer that I want us to recognize, that actually Jonah recognizes, that we too should recognize. He says, or he recognizes the first thing, he says, we are not good enough. You are not good enough on your own. We read it in Ephesians earlier that it is by grace we are saved. Not of ourselves, so that none of us can boast. In other words, Paul's saying, you didn't save yourself because you're not good enough. It's not because of what you did, because you're not good enough. You can't run fast enough. You can't jump high enough. You can't make enough money. You can't do enough good on your own to find God's salvation. You are not good enough. And here's what Jonah says in verse 3. He says, you threw me into the depths, into the heart of the seas, and the current overcame me. I wasn't good enough. I couldn't swim fast enough. Your breakers and your billows swept over me. And Jonah recognizes I'm not good enough. And until we recognize that we are not good enough, we will never cry out to God. Say, just one more time, I'll just try a little bit harder. I'll do a little bit more good. I'll do my best. I will do more than my best. And the whole time, God is saying, you're not good enough. You can't reach my standard. You're not good enough. And Jonah recognizes, I'm not good enough. I'm in too deep. I can't swim. I can't overcome this. He recognizes that his rebellion from God results in God's judgment. It results in God's divine justice. You and I deserve hell. That may blow some of your minds. And may think, well, I'm a good guy. I'm a good girl. I didn't do anything bad. I'm not that bad of a person. I'm better than her or him. You break any command, you deserve death. I deserve hell. You deserve hell. And God would be right in his divine judgment and right in his divine justice if we went to hell. And Jonah recognizes that. I can't do it on my own. But Jonah goes a little bit further. He recognizes not only can I not do it on my own, but we are also, he recognizes, we are spiritually impotent. Not only am I not strong enough, but I'm not able to fix myself. I'm not strong enough to run. I'm not strong enough to get out of this storm. I'm not strong enough to doggy paddle my way out of this sea, but I'm also not strong enough to fix my own problems. In verses 4 through 6, he says, "But I said, I have been banished from your sight." He's been banished. He deserves it. You and I deserve it. "Yet I will look once more toward your holy temple." I will look toward your holy temple. The waters engulfed me up to my neck, and the watery depths overcame me. Seaweed is wrapped around my head. I sank to the foundations of the mountains, and the earth with its prison bars closed behind me. Very poetic language. Jonah's saying, "I'm a dead man. I'm sunk. I'm in a prison. I'm a goner." There's nothing I can do to fix this. He says, "But I will look again toward your temple. I will look again toward the place that you reside. I will look again to you. I can't fix myself, but I will cry out to you." Jonah recognizes I need grace. He knows he can't do it on his own physically. He knows he can't do it on his own spiritually. And lastly, he recognizes this, that salvation is costly. The rest of verse 6 and verse 7 says, "But you raise my life from the pit. And as my life was fading away, I remembered Yahweh. My prayer came to you, to your holy temple." Now you need to understand this concept of holy temple. For us, it's just a place over there. But a holy temple is where God lives. It's where God resides. It's where God chose to have his presence dwell. The holy temple is where you commune with God. The holy temple is where God was. The holy temple is where the mercy seat was. And the mercy seat is where forgiveness happens. He says, "I'm a dead man. I'm gone. I can't fix myself physically. I can't fix myself spiritually. And I have to recognize that salvation is costly, and it costs sacrifice." Temple is where sacrifice happens. The temple is where God dwelt. The temple is where the mercy seat was. The temple is where forgiveness comes. But forgiveness only comes with a sacrifice. Sacrifices aren't cheap. If they were cheap, they wouldn't be a sacrifice. When we give to God, it shouldn't be cheap. It shouldn't be our leftovers. It shouldn't be, "I got this, you can have it." Sacrifice, by its nature, is costly. And Jonah recognizes that. It is only by sacrifice. It's only by seeing your temple again. It's only by having your forgiveness that I am out of this. And it's only by your grace. It's only through your grace that I can go. My life is fading. And Jonah recognizes these aspects of grace. Have you recognized them in your life? Have you recognized you're not good enough? Again, we read earlier that Ephesians tells us that you know what? It's not by our works that we're good, but we should do good works. Paul is not confused. What he's saying is that your good works don't cause salvation, but your salvation should cause good works. Don't get the order wrong. There's nothing you can do morally. There's nothing you can do. You're not good enough to earn salvation. You're spiritually impotent. You can't do it on your own. And salvation is what you need, and it's costly. He cries out to God. He's lost. He's condemned. He's unable to open these doors to this prison that is closing behind me. And then he says, yet, it's not a period. He said, don't stop. Yet, God saves him anyway. You may feel like you're in a prison. You may feel like the doors are closing behind you. You may feel like you're up to your neck in chaos. You've run from God's presence, and you don't know what to do. Cry out to Jesus. You may feel like the prison doors are closing, yet cry out to Jesus. Only He can save you. Only He can change your life. Only He can make your life worth living. Jonah says, let go of the idols. Let go of everything that you think can save you. Let go of those things. Those are not worth clinging to. They're worthless. These things keep us away from God. He said, run to God. Run to God. Don't run from grace. He recognizes that salvation comes from the Lord. That's the gospel. The gospel says that Jesus is the only way to God. And the only way to God is you got to go through Him. He says, I'm the way, the truth, the life. You don't get to the Father except through Him. And Jonah recognizes that. Maybe he doesn't understand a Christian concept. He doesn't understand it fully. But he recognizes he can't get on his own. He recognizes he's spiritually impotent. He recognizes he needs sacrifice. Sacrifice is costly. And in his repentance, in his way of saying, God, I'm sorry. I'm going to change. I'm going to live a new way. We recognize another costly aspect of salvation. The last verse of chapter 2 says, and God commanded the fish, and the fish spewed him out on dry land. Now, you may not recognize the nuances of that. You may not understand how that may be a big deal or not a big deal. But maybe you don't understand, or maybe you haven't thought of, fish don't live out of water. And Jonah spit up, not in the water. He doesn't have to swim a mile. He doesn't have to swim. He's not spit up in the shallow water. He's spit up on dry land. The simple fact is that the fish had to beach himself for Jonah to get out on dry land. Salvation is costly. That fish had to give his life for Jonah to get up. There are so many parallels between the book of Jonah and what Christ has done. And Jonah gets out of, you see him kind of crawling on the beach, sand, kind of goopy, smells like throw up. And he's recognized that without grace, without repentance, without salvation, without sacrifice, there is no salvation. What about you? Have you recognized that? Have you understood that? Have you been running from God? Some of you smell like fish puke. Some of you should smell like fish puke. Because you're running. You haven't got to the point of seeking forgiveness and letting God put you on the right path. Will you follow Him today? Will you get in line with His command? Will you allow God to use the hardships and the cruelty and the craziness of life to bring you back under His wing? To bring you back underneath His umbrella of protection? Stop running from grace and running to grace for God's glory, God's honor, for your restoration. Will you run to God today? As Chris plays, will you stand and respond to God? Jesus gave His life for you, the greatest sacrifice ever. Will you seek for His grace? Will you live out that repentance?